Welcome to Season 9, Episode 2 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to have an interview with Tingray Chang from Canonical. We'll also have some command line love and go over your feedback. I'm Alan. Joining me this week is Martin. Hello, Martin.
Hello.
Mark.
Hello.
And Laura. Hello, Laura.
Hello. We're all very calm and quiet now.
Yes. how is everyone?
Very well.
Well, good.
Top hole.
Good. So, what have you been up to, Mark, since we last spoke?
I've been playing a game called Human Resource Machine.
Really?
Okay, yes.
No, I can't keep that pretense up when you say that. Go on, what is Human Resource Machine?
So this is by some of the people who made World of Goo and Little Inferno, which are two fairly well-known kind of indie games. But this one is quite a bit different, because in this you play essentially a little office worker, and you're told that you've got an inbox and an outbox, and you're told to take things from the inbox, do things to them, and put them in the outbox. But what this essentially is teaching you to program in assembler. So you have an instruction set of various very simple commands that you can give, and you can loop, and you can add and subtract, and a few other simple things, write to locations on the floor and pick up from locations on the floor, and try and essentially write algorithms in assembler. And it's incredibly challenging. As someone who programs for a living.
I was going to say, it sounds as challenging as programming for a living.
In assembler.
But as a game.
More so in some cases, yes. But as a game. But it's quite fun, because it's got these cute little characters, and it's got the sort of weird narrative going on in the background as well. But yeah, I think I've managed to complete all of them except for working out how to do prime factorization. That's really quite hard.
Where can you get this marvellous piece of software?
I think it's tomorrowcorporation.com.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately, it's not native for Linux, but it runs perfectly under Wine.
So
you install it using MSI exec, and it just kind of installs like a Debian package and works. Nice.
So, Mark, you work all the live long day as a developer, and when you get home in the evening, you play games being a developer. A
virtual developer.
Yeah. Well, I don't, to be fair, I don't program in assembler, so it's a different pace.
Not only that, you play a game as an office worker.
Yeah, but come on, there's Euro Truck Simulator.
Do you think doctors go home and play Theme Hospital?
Yeah, maybe.
I'm just looking forward to the release of Server Down. That sounds like my kind of game.
This isn't the only game I play. I should hasten.
Yeah, moving
to
on. I don't want to give you any more credibility, Mark. Martin, what have you been up to?
Last week we spoke about the Raspberry Pi 3, and I have been experimenting with the Raspberry Pi 3. In particular, the thing that's getting most of my attention at the moment is experimenting with the new 3D acceleration that's available for the Pi 2 and the Pi 3. And when you can get it to go, even for just a little bit, it's a glimpse of fantasticness that awaits. So, yeah, it's good. And
you make it
hopefully
sound like
I'll.
It doesn't work that well. It's getting an undercurrent.
You know how you see things marked in the kernel as experimental, and you think, "Oh, that probably doesn't work," and then it works just
when
fine.
When I'm reading through the kernel of an evening,
says the guy who writes assembler in an evening. Shut your face.
So this is properly carrying the moniker experimental, and it does work, although that it's a bit janky in places, but it's definitely getting there. And you can, for example, if you've ever played Neverball or Neverputt, you can now play those quite comfortably, I mean, very comfortably at 60 frames per second on the Raspberry Pi 3, for example. And with a bit of luck, you can get VLC with OpenGL rendering working as well. So I'm trying to get all the patches together and the work that the Raspberry Pi Foundation have been doing, and sort of backport that into Ubuntu in order to try and deliver a feature parity version of those experimental drivers. But it's really good. When it works, nice. It's really good.
Awesome. Look forward to the results of that. Thank you very much. Let's get on with the show, shall we?
So a couple of weeks ago, I was lucky enough to be selected to go along to the user experience studies taking place at Canonical in London. And while I was there, I recorded an interview. So I'm here with Ting Ray Chang in the London offices for Canonical. So Ting, what's your role here at Canonical?
So I'm the user researcher at Canonical. So we test a range of products for Ubuntu, Ubuntu on the cloud, Ubuntu on the phone, Ubuntu on tablets, as you know.
As I know. So I've taken part in the user research for, well, I've used a computer and some phone devices today. Mm-hmm. So what is it we've been researching today?
Well, you're definitely poking into the secret. So we are trying this specific test. We were trying to figure out how people perceive conversions. So how things show on laptop and desktop should be the same experience. We are trying to deliver a consistent or coherent user experience on the phone and on a desktop. So you experience parts of it and see what's your expectation as a user, where the buttons should be, where the scroll should be, and where the edges should work, whether things work for you. So
yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the feedback that I've given you today, I'm one of many people that are going to be participating in this.
Yes. So in Canonical, we run about 6-week cycle. We test different products and prototypes and design. And when we gather feedback from the users, we then sort of make suggestions or recommendations on the next development. So the design and development will be changed accordingly. And a lot of these are sort of results that will be played to the designers or engineers, and they get a feeling how users are using their products. So for example, you were testing or you were trying the a lot of apps that's developed by the community developers. Mm-hmm. And for us, at Canonical, at least for me, myself, it's the first time we see how things are used by the users. So we're really excited to see the, you know, if it works for you, and is there anything we can change?
Okay, and approximately how many people will be taking part in this round of usability? Because this one you publicized, didn't you? You actually asked for people to come in and participate.
Yes, so we managed to find 15 people, and they are a range of different type of people who may or may not use Ubuntu, people hopefully with different gender and backgrounds.
Okay, so there is a spectrum of user experience in these tests.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And you say you run these every 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how quickly some of this feedback will work its way into the next version of the product?
Not necessarily. So, for example, one of the things that you see, they might be developing for the next release. So sometimes, for example, websites, you'll be seeing in a couple of months, that's my guess. And some of the apps will be seen pretty much immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will be, you know, the half year, 2 years release. It really depends.
And you said that you do usability testing not just on devices, but on
websites.
Cloud and websites.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So is it the same process of getting groups of people in to test on on websites, for example? And when you say websites, which websites?
Canonical and Ubuntu have a bunch of websites for different users. We have websites for app developers, designers, and we are very close to the point to test our app develop websites, so the design guide for apps. And often we have to use our Facebook, Twitter, and social networks, you know, personal connections to find people that's keen to come and help us. As a sort of community, we often benefit greatly from the support from Ubuntu fans. But yeah, it's quite a challenge. And you were asking about something.
And cloud as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I didn't know that there was user experience testing for cloud.
Yeah, sometimes For example, one of the latest ones, we are actually asking people who use or run Ubuntu on the, for cloud services or system administrators to co-design with us. How can we develop more usable tools for people who run Ubuntu on the cloud on a daily basis? So sometimes it's like a workshop or a one-to-one interview. And that's another part of my job or part of here in our office.
And that, and those are running at the same frequency as...
Probably every other month. The thing is, so for example, this project I'm doing for the apps and conversions, and next one will be for the website, and the next one will be for the cloud. So it's
okay.
It's not a 6 months for 6 weeks for every project, but maybe every
there's
three
some sort of
cycles,
user testing.
Always going on. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Your job title is user experience
researcher.
Test researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just sort of summarize what user experience means?
Okay. I can probably just tell you, if you ask everyone, it will be different. So to me, user experience is a holistic package. It's like when, let's say, Ubuntu, before you even use Ubuntu, how did you hear about Ubuntu? When you search or when you want to get more information, how did this information deliver to you? And then if you actually decide to use Ubuntu, how this downloading and getting on board to use Ubuntu, say, on your desktop, how would this experience, say, out of box, that experience to you? And then when you get used to it, how do you learn, how do you adapt to use Ubuntu, because you might be using something different previously? And then when you need more support, or when you have problem using it, how do we support you as a, you know, as a company in the back? Or it's often you get answers from the community on the internet, how these sort of all combine and provide experience to you as a user. So that's me, not just the interface, which a lot of people think user experience is all about. To me, it's the whole package as an experience. Mm-hmm.
The last couple of questions are, where can people contact you to find out how to participate in user testing and research at Canonical?
Yes, great, brilliant. We really need help from you. So we always keen to have people coming in to help us. The best way currently is find my email on Ubuntu's Facebook or Twitter. However, I will try to come up with more ways. If you email us, we don't just look for people who is extremely familiar with Ubuntu. We actually look for people who is curious about Ubuntu, people who might hate Ubuntu for whatever reason. We look for, you know, broad spectrum of people who might be curious and have half an hour to an hour to spend in London.
Mm.
Yeah, that would be good.
Oh, that's great. I'm sure Joe Ressington will be delighted to hear that you're looking for people that hate Ubuntu because he is based in London. I'll be sure to point him in your direction. Thank you very much for your time today, Ting, and thank you for looking after me whilst I've been in the offices here. It was a lot of fun. And I hope I get invited back for cloud and server user testing.
Yeah,
that's definitely more my style. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
That sounded great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I had a great time there, and Ting really looked after me. She was brilliant.
It's funny. So, describe for those who don't know, you know how it works. I assume you're trapped in a cage somewhere, and they throw computers at you or something. Is that how it works? How does this user experience work?
Yeah. So you go into one of the offices, the glass offices in the offices in London. And by the way, I've never been to Canonical before. The offices are very swish. It was a very nice environment. So you go into one of the offices there, you sit at a desk, and there was a whole range of devices in front of me. So you're kind of distracted by the fact there's all of this stuff laid out. Opposite you, there's a camera pointing at you. And that gets set to record you so they can see what you're doing. And then you sort of put on a chest-mounted GoPro as well. So this is being recorded by filming you and filming what you're looking at and what your hands are doing. And the general process is you are given a device, and then you are asked to accomplish a task on that device. And whilst you are accomplishing said task, you have to have this constant stream of spoken consciousness about what you're doing, where you're looking, what you've seen.
I would imagine that's not hard for you, Martin.
It's talking for a long time, not hard. Actually, sort of trying to translate
convey information,
your thoughts in that way is, so you're is quite difficult.
Like, I'm looking for this icon. I'm swiping down because I think it might be here, or that kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, giving a narrative.
I can see a plus symbol here. I'm going to press that because I think that's the right thing to press right now.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall to watch this. It's going to be hilarious.
Well, somewhere there's video. And also
going up on the Ubuntu podcast YouTube channel.
Man,
I
tell you what, maybe we should ask. I had to sign something to say it would be kept strictly confidential, but maybe we should get it released because there was a couple of things. One of the tasks you deliberately cannot complete. Okay, it's like a thing you cannot do. Yeah, and I was like, I'm not accepting this. I'm going to keep on, you know, forging ahead. I'm going to damn well find out how to do this.
The thing is saying that they have different, like, you know, different types of people. I'm sure there'll be different personalities. Some people who just give up and some people who would relentlessly keep going and try to find, like, you know, there must be a way to do this and, like, navigate their way throughout the whole thing, and other people who'd give up. And I guess that speaks volumes about the different types of people that we might have as users.
Yeah.
Yes. But it was a very interesting experience and really... gave an insight into the thing is that also some of the apps that I was using to accomplish tasks I've used, you know, and Ting actually said to me, you know, for some of what you're doing here, you know this system very well, but even so it suddenly occurred to me, now I'm being asked to do a specific thing and explain it, I realize this isn't quite how it should be. And it's not until you actually are asked to explain your thought process, you realize that you're having a mental pause and that it isn't coming to you naturally. And also the other embarrassing fact is that some of the stuff on the handheld devices, Ubuntu for devices on those looks very crisp and bright and easy to read. But what I found was that didn't translate into an easy to read experience on a computer. So all of those greys and pales and thin dark grey fonts on the phone looked great, but on the computer I could barely read any of the text.
Interesting.
And so that was like every time I was asked to do something, I was like, I can't read. I was like, I'm sorry to keep saying this, but I can't read this very well. And then some of the apps have got an automatic dark theme to them. So like the music player app has only got this dark contrast look to it. And on the computer, I could read that perfectly fine. So this was like one of those weird things, because I've not used the Ubuntu Next on, or Unity Next, whatever it's going to be called, on a computer before. I've only used it on the mobile devices.
So some of what you've signed is a confidentiality possibly, but a lot of it's probably to do with them saying that they're going to protect your videos so that you feel that they're not being shared. So if you're happy for them to be shared, that's probably a big chunk of the way for them to be able to edit bits that don't matter confidentiality wise.
I'm not sure.
Because people would be fascinated to see this stuff because a lot of people don't see this kind of thing.
Right. I'm not sure whether we do actually record them because I don't know if you actually looked at the machine that was recording you, but I've seen it in the past. What they actually do is have a hangout and there are three people outside the room who are watching the hangout. So they're not, I don't know if it is recorded. It might be.
Live streaming straight to YouTube.
live streaming to three people sat in a room next door and they're all furiously taking notes while they're watching you and they're like talking to each other while they're watching you because it's time efficient for them to do it while you're doing it rather than come back and watch it again later. But it may well be they recorded it. I don't know.
We used to record, but do it live because otherwise you'd spend hours doing all the note taking later. But you have the video because then you can take clips and use it as evidence and things.
And I think having three of them sat around the video means they can like spot when one person's writing a note and another one's looking at the screen. They can say, oh, did you see what he did there? He pressed this, or he, you know, his face went when he saw that screen or something. It's really interesting to watch them watching you It's quite bizarre, but yeah, it's quite good fun. And I think it's really cool that they do this. And I don't think many people know that this happens.
No, I used to firmly be in the camp that I couldn't believe that the usability studies were taking place at Canonical, and
because it's Stuart all Langridge so rubbish.
Stuart Langridge called me out on it, and I was a bit sort of taken aback. So that was one of the reasons why I was so keen to participate, because if it was taking place, I wanted to have my say. And see how it works and get some insight into how the whole process worked. But the thing that I was particularly impressed with is, I'm not quite sure what the correct terms are, Alan, so you'll have to sort of correct me, but there's like apps that are like developed by the community that are endorsed as like the official apps that ship on the device.
Yep.
And then there's like stuff you can install from the Click Store.
Yeah.
But I wasn't just testing the sort of the official stuff.
Right.
There was a number of community apps that had been selected for testing,
right,
which I was really pleased to see, because it was sort of quite embracing in terms of the scope of the things that they were looking at.
Yeah, that's good. We did talk to the design guys when we were trying to figure out which would be the best apps to do, and we did ask, you know, could you do some community ones as well? And they were perfectly, you know, okay with doing that. And some of the community apps are actually really good examples of apps to test. And some of them are terrible examples. So you get both ends of the spectrum. It's great. That was really good. Thank you, Martin. Thanks for organizing that. And excellent. Thanks.
Cool. We love getting your feedback. So please send it to us. Even the pointlessly mean stuff makes us laugh. If it's short, tweet us on @UbuntuPodcast. If it's less short, but please no essays, email us on show@ubuntupodcast.org. If you'd like to discuss some of the things we talk about with other listeners, post on our shiny new subreddit at reddit.com/r/UbuntuPodcast. Or you can just leave a comment on the relevant show notes on our website, ubuntupodcast.org.
And now, for the first time this year, it's time for Command Line Love.
And this one
is Fat Race. Have you been signing up for Parkrun, Alan?
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. It's not that. It's it is spelt like that. So I was trying to debug a problem, an IO problem on my desktop the other day, and I was noticing a huge amount of IO. The disk light was like constantly flapping away, and I'd used tools like LSOF to look at open files, but I wanted to see exactly what was being touched at any point in time, and and so this FA trace, you can run it, and if you just run it, it just spits out like a log of every file that gets touched, whether it's reading or writing. So you just get like a console output, just like constantly spinning past of every file that's getting touched, whether it's reading or writing or whatever. And it's quite useful. You can also filter it and say, show me files that this particular process is touching, or filter and only show me writes that are happening, or only show me file open operations, or only show me reads, that kind of stuff. So I found that quite useful, because while I was doing a NCDU, which has been a previous command line love, to scan for disk space, how much disk space I was using, I was noticing it was like going slow every so often. And so I wanted to see what other operations were going on. And so I had NCDU running in one window, and then FA trace running in another window, specifically excluding NCDU. So it would show me everything except that thing. And I could see what other IO operations were going on. It's a really, really useful tool. Yeah.
Interesting. Running it just now, it just shows a FLAC file updating furiously, as I recall.
I thought you were going to say it just shows a fat man running around a field, but okay.
Moving on. I hate you all.
And now it's time for some feedback. So new listener Ian Forbes emailed us. on showatubuntupodcast.org. So, first of all, what in God's name does a developer advocate do? No offence, Laura, it sounds like a made-up job.
No offence.
Actually, all job names are made up at some point. It's just that one's more recently made up than any other.
Yep.
To be fair.
Yep.
Oh dear.
So what is a developer advocate?
Is it a community manager?
It is, except it doesn't assume that the community needs managing.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Annoyed Laura. What else did he say? Good old Ian. Did he have anything else good to say?
He said, does Popey know he sounds vocally absolutely identical to the character Eames, the forger from Inception, as played by Tom Hardy? So much so that I almost do not want to know what he looks like, as that will spoil the picture of him in my mind.
Well, you don't have to worry.
I have to rewatch Inception.
You don't have
now.
To worry, because I am the spitting image of Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy.
In every way. Every
just,
way.
Just ignore all of the previous references to a fat man running.
You had to say it again. What's going on?
Very fattest.
Well, to be fair, it could be me running around the field
as
well.
And you do actually run.
I do. And that's even more hilarious because, yes.
So go on. What else have we got?
I'm doing nothing. It's you guys now.
James Silber, Canonical CEO, told The Register that Canonical is talking to lots of Android phone manufacturers and says many will be shipping Ubuntu phones.
Many?
How exciting. Many.
That's a
yeah.
big number, many, isn't it?
So CMT Arudi posted on G+.
In the Ubuntu podcast, I heard a prediction which was something like 8 devices running Ubuntu on the market. This, if happened, could give 1 point to someone. I think it was Popey.
Yeah, I said 10 by the end of the year, didn't I? Did I say 10 by the end of the year? I think
apparently you said 8.
Maybe.
But you said, you did say commercially rather than like community ports and stuff. So.
No, I think I said any device. I don't think I was that specific.
And whilst we're on predictions, I think we should just give a hat tip to Isaac Carter, who commented on our predictions episode at the end of last year and said that he predicted that the Raspberry Pi Foundation would release a device with integrated Wi-Fi. So he started the new year very well.
Cool.
Nice one. And that's the end of the feedback. And that's all for episode 2. We'll be back next week, maybe, when we'll have more news, comment, and discussion. Do feel free to get in touch with us and tell us about your amusingly named command line loves. or your feedback, or let us know anything, basically. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome. I really don't think I sound like him at all, but who knows?
I have no idea what that was about, but okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.